Well, hello everyone. How are we doing? Here we are. Hey, Vicky, I type in your name wrong there. How are we doing, everyone? We'll give it a few minutes for people to trickle in here and we'll get started. I know we won't see as many in the evening hours as we do in the middle of the day, but it is a Saturday night. I mean, it's, you know, 12:30 here. Hey, ontologistic, there we go. Making a guy read. It's, it's 12:30 in the morning here. The people at the bar were trying to get me to stay longer, but, you know, I only had a couple of beers. I was only there for a couple hours. I don't, when I go out to the bars, I'll drink, but I don't get hammered. Otherwise, you end up having to take Ubers home and stuff. When I'm out of town, that's a different story. When I'm out of town, I can get plowed and take an Uber home and whatnot. But here at the bars here in town and stuff, I usually end up going places that I know and feel safe. But yeah, we'll give it another minute or two and until we get just a few more bodies in here. How's everybody doing today? Watching from South Florida. Hey, there, Masters. We're going to be covering the was filmed in St. Petersburg, I believe. That's where Danny Jones is located, if I remember right. But we're going to be doing the Professor Dave Explains, where he had his appearance on Danny Jones. And this was really, holy shit. You want to talk about some, like open hypocrisy and some serious, easy to see, like double think. This is going to be a place to do it. Dave is very good at pretending to be a wannabe Keemstar. He's great at being angry and yelling and brr, but he's fucking not a very smart guy, especially not very intelligent when it comes to like things that aren't on the page right in front of him. It's 8:30 in the morning in the UK. Well, see, Vicky, this is one of the many reasons I tend to believe that the United Kingdom is like Australia and birds and the female origami. These are all myths. They're lies. They're things that don't really exist. They can't happen. So anyway, yeah, there is no England. There is no bird. And that origami thing's fake too. Is Dave just an activist? Well, you know, honestly, I think he's a grifter. That's a word that I think it's thrown around way too much, but in all honesty, Dave does kind of qualify as a grifter. I mean, he knows that he doesn't know most of what he talks about, and he's aware that he doesn't know most of what he talks about. As we'll see as we go through this video, I mean, when he's talking about one point, he flat out says he doesn't even remember the science of the papers that he was reading to do this, and that's bullshit, okay? That's straight-up bullshit. I smoke a ton of fucking reefers, and my short-term memory would not let me forget a paper that I made a video on. I might forget details. I'm not going to forget all of it. I'm not going to be like, well, I can't really weigh in. I'm just gonna... But Dave doesn't weigh in. Let's put it this way. If you look at like the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis, Dave's the kind of guy that would pick the side that says it didn't exist. He would accuse the other guys of being pseudoscientists, and then he would align himself with the other scientists, and anything they said would be real science. He's not smart enough to discern, to dig under the hood and to look into it for himself. He doesn't have the chutzpah to do so, perhaps, but he wants to pretend that's what he's done. And so he ends up by just talking shit. 7:35, Sunday, May 14th, in imaginary country, New Zealand. Exactly. At least you got that right, Pat. Thank you. New Zealand is imaginary. Hey, Marcy. Yes, today is, it's a good morning. Thanks, Hidden. It's a good morning. Australia doesn't exist. That's correct, Cornwallis. He also doesn't do research. That is correct, Guru. Did Dave finally finish his transfer? I don't know about all that, Pixie Handle. 3:30 post Helene Ravage geology here in northeastern Tennessee. Very nice. All right, Queensland and Australia. Okay. Well, we got enough people in here. We'll go ahead and get this show on the road. Let's watch. Now, Danny Jones is a guy that I have a lot of respect for. I think Danny's a pretty smart guy. His producer, Steve's a smart dude, too, which I don't think he gets enough credit. But as always, the producer, they don't get talked about.
Professor Dave.
Howdy.
Howdy. Thanks for coming, bro.
Yeah, happy to be here. A little surprised to be here, but happy nonetheless.
Look, man, you're very talented. And your videos are very funny.
Thank you.
And I can't deny that, whether I agree with all of your the stuff you say or not. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you for doing what you're doing and making it entertaining, informative, and fucking hilarious.
See, this is where I'll give Danny props right off the bat. You know, I that's not how I would have opened it up with Dave. Definitely. But, Dave is funny. I won't deny that Dave's funny. Informative is a word that in certain videos, sure, maybe he's... But see, I don't know, because I've only looked at the stuff that he's really done in regards to myself, and he's a fucking idiot in regards to that. He's just wrong. He completely, consistently gets things wrong. And to the point where, to the point where it could be actionable if I was one of those kinds of cocksuckers, because he ticks all the boxes. He knowingly says things that are incorrect with the intent of damaging my career. So at that point, it's like, well, that's exactly what slander and libel laws are all about. But as I've said a thousand times, I'm pretty fucking old school, man. You have to get pretty goddamn ugly before you even think about hiring a lawyer to handle these sorts of things. I'd rather just debate the man and, get in the ring with him. But he's afraid to do that now, too. But yeah, so I do got to give Danny props for acknowledging that Dave is decent at what he does. The sad thing is what he does is akin to what Keemstar does. It's just drumming up anger. It's just drumming up fucking vitriol and internet blood sports.
So for the people that are listening to this that may hate your guts because they don't agree with you, which is stupid.
Right.
this will be like taking an ice bath for them. It'll be...
I don't hate his guts because I disagree with him. I don't even hate his guts. I just think that Dave Farina is what I hate is the situation that has allowed a person like him to succeed. Like the idea that a bunch of intellectuals, a bunch of evidence-based empiricists, scientifically minded individuals are frothing at the mouth and rubbing their hands to wait for the next person, the next flat earther to eat shit, and that they don't care if the information's wrong about this, that, or the thing, because they don't fucking check. I mean, that I have a hard time giving that a whole lot of accolades, as you can imagine. To me, it's kind of the fact that he is a champion of the quote unquote skeptics is it's why I go out of my way to make skepticism not a dirty word, because guys like him have fucking tainted it something fierce. When Carolyn Ford let me play with the skull that was the first crystal skull that was ever on Ancient Aliens, and when she let me handle it, she told me that I was the first self-proclaimed skeptic she ever let touch the thing, let alone be in the same room with it, as a matter of fact. But that was because I wasn't an asshole about it. And this is kind of frustrating because, Dave is an asshole about it. And I understand it's a shtick. It sells. All right. Me sitting here talking like I am right now is probably not as good for my channel overall as if I was to go at you like this. And look, man, this is where the guy's stupid. And this is where the guy's stupid. Can you fucking believe these morons? But this is, I don't want to encourage a bunch of people to be emotionally led fucking numbnuts. And that's exactly what Dave does. He mocks and derides and instead of actually informing. Even the information that he brings is generally speaking subpar. Anyway,
healthy, I think.
I hope they get all the way through it. Yeah,
I think it'd be good to start this off by like explaining how you got into all this shit in the beginning.
Sure. Okay. Let's see. It's good. I mean, even my viewers, I don't think have like the full in-depth origin story. So I guess I can give you kind of the medium length one, and then anywhere you want more details. This is a long show, right? You can feel free to pry and get more information. I guess I would say, so I studied chemistry in college and then in grad school as well. But ultimately all I really wanted to do was play music. So from the beginning of college, I knew I wanted to be a musician. I was playing in bands, really obsessed with that. But decided to be a chem major anyway. Apparently I was very practical in that regard. But then all through my 20s, I was playing in bands and all the while just at first I was sort of tutoring and substitute teaching. You know, you still need to get by, you know, you need to make a living and pay the rent. So bandmates would all be bartenders or whatever. I would teach chemistry. And then I was teaching organic chemistry at this trade university for about 3.5 years. During that time, the band I was in at that time started to kind of take off a little bit. And so we were signed to a label and touring and all this stuff. And we were touring so much that we decided we all needed some form of passive income.
Maybe not at 3:30. At 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, sorry, Timmy. It is it's time here. The live stream is a good idea. Maybe not at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, that's fair. I did one earlier yesterday. Technically, I'm trying to kind of get people from all different sides. That way, that everybody gets a little bit of a taste. Because I end up my sleep schedule is in smaller pieces. I sleep basically 2 times a day. At about 3 hours each time. So maybe 4 if I'm really going for it. So it seems prudent to me to talk to my entire audience live as best as I can. But yeah, Tim, I agree. It's late. I'd rather be at the bar still for another hour. But we should probably discuss really quick. Let's ask really fast. You got Professor Dave there. What kind of music do you think that he was playing with his band? Do you think it was, what instrument do you play? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. I could be wrong, but I'm going to say that he was probably playing the skin flute. The slobber blues is the style of music he was playing on the skin flute. I could be wrong, but this is my educated guess based on looking at him and everything I know about the guy. He seems like a slobbering on the skin flute type.
And so we all had our little ideas in mind was a YouTube channel. So this is 2014. So this is quite a while ago at this point.
What kind of music?
So that band was called The Lonely Wild. I would call it like India Americana, I guess. Rock and roll. Okay. I mean, for lack of, yeah, it was guitar driven rock music. I was the drummer in that band.
Well, shit, I lost the bet on that one, didn't I? I guess that he was the drummer. Well, fuck. Oh, well. I'll take us late 90 dunking action. Keep it up. Thank you, Magwawalai. And yeah, thanks, Timmy. I know it's late, buddy.
14, like there was educational content on YouTube. There was, I mean, Khan Academy started way like 07, 08 or something like that. There was Crash Course. There was some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can do that. So I took my organic chemistry lectures and just delivered them to camera with a whiteboard. Just here you go, OChem 1 and 2 students, and put them online, with a little bit of branding and stuff. And it was received very well. It was the first thing in my life that.
This is an interesting part of watching his whole shtick. Is yes, it was received very well out the gate. Right off the bat, Dave Farina's videos on chemistry and stuff, his lectures did well. When they quit doing as good, he started making videos talking shit about other people. And that was when we got the Professor Dave that we all know and hate today.
That just was instantly, you know, people were appreciative and, you know, so I had a lot of positive feedback. And so I decided to do general chemistry tutorials with green screen and animations and things like that. And so eventually around mid 2016, it looked like the band wasn't really going to pan out, which was devastating. But the channel was starting to, it had, you know, maybe 10, 20,000 subscribers or something. It was enough to kind of go, all right, well, what if I put all my eggs in this basket? So for the next 4 or 5 years, I just started really relentlessly uploading educational tutorials. So high school and undergrad aligned, curriculum aligned stuff. I moved on to like biochemistry, biology, physics, astronomy, math, just sort of whatever I had studied, whatever was tangential to what I had studied, continue doing that. And then the reason I'm
guys, this is important. Notice that he was things that he studied. It's okay. I won't get to laugh very much at 3:30. Yeah, you got to keep it quiet. Wake the whole house up. I follow. But you see that there? He's Dave knows that he was sticking to things that he studied. Sticking to things that he knew. And this is what he was presenting to the world. But that isn't how he kept going. At this point now, as we'll see further on down the video, he flat out says that he researches things he doesn't know anything about, which there's nothing wrong with that. I do that. I'll research something I don't know anything about. But he's researching it with a set job in mind. He's a debunker, and that is what he does first and foremost. So
probably here is that around 2019, 2020, I pivoted into, not really pivoted, but in addition to the tutorials, which I still generate, I started making debunking content where I sort of go after charlatans in the science space who are lying about science for whatever financial or political motivation. And I just make content sort of exposing and eviscerating them. And that has definitely gained me more, not necessarily more notoriety. I guess it depends. You know, if you're in a chemistry department at a university, they're probably talking about my tutorials. But for the broader general public, I'm certainly better known for my debunking content. So
yeah.
Yeah, and that debunking content started off like most of the people. You know, he didn't mention when he's talking about the early days of educational YouTube, he didn't mention guys like Thunderfoot, who was out there, you know, Philip Mason, doing exactly what Professor Dave does now. But he was doing it fucking 20 years ago, that it was, you know, throwing rocks at creationists and making fun of the ideologues and pseudoscientists. The difference is, Thunderfoot was very much about flat earthers and creationists and stuff for the most part. And then he started debunking all kinds of goofy shit, but he's quote unquote right wing, I guess. Now, I don't know. He seemed right wing by 2016. He seemed like he got lumped into the whole Sargon of Akkad group. And at any rate, Thunderfoot's not worthy of being one of Dave's guys that he's going to reference. So we won't talk about Thunderfoot apparently. And, you know, Dave's whole shtick is this debunking thing, and it's not, as we'll see as we go forward, it's really, he's not very well educated on the topics that he talks about, and there's a real problem there. It's one thing, this is the same problem that I have with Milo Rossi, the same reason I created my channel. It's one thing to say, like, I know what you're doing is wrong, what you're saying is wrong, and I'm going to debunk it. It's another thing altogether to come in there and say, I'm going to debunk this because I know that it goes against my ideology. And that's really the big difference between these two perspectives here, is we've got, I don't have a problem with somebody poking holes in an argument that's wrong if their reason for doing so is because they're looking for things that are wrong. If the reason that they're doing it is for an ideological reason, well, then it's a problem. I don't care what the reason is. If you have an underlying motivation that's causing you to do anything a little off, well, that's clearly an issue. What's wrong with Sargon of Akkad? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Carl. I'm saying that they got lumped in, that Thunderfoot got lumped in with the right wingers like Sargon of Akkad, even though him and Sargon are falling out decade plus. And, that because of the perception of them, of Thunderfoot being a right winger, guys like Professor Dave's not going to bring him up. Do pay attention, please. But you see, Dan, to us, Hancock's ideas are all important. To him, it's just content to be made. We are the underdogs here. It's asymmetric. We cannot do anything against this, right? To us, Hancock's ideas and all are important. To him, it's just content to be made. What? We are the underdogs here. It's asymmetric. We cannot do anything. Well, of course, we can do what we want against it. I mean, how many fucking Marie Antoinette got her head cut off by a bunch of nobodies, right? You absolutely, absolutely can. Educational YouTube, that's a good one. Yeah, yes. Yes, Timmy, I'm educational YouTube. I am as educational as they get. Dude, it's 2:30 and I'm high. Give me a break. That's fair. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just saying that, like, well, you weren't giving me much of a break, were you? You're asking me what the problem was with Sargon. And I was telling you, I didn't say there was a problem. I was just saying that. I will say that I think Sargon's, he's pretty right-wing, in my opinion. But I'm pretty goddamn centrist. If the political compass was a fucking pyramid, I'd be on the very top of the capstone. And so you'll find me looking at people that aren't really centered in kind of a weird light. I don't see a whole lot of a difference between an ideologue on the right and ideologue on the left, except for the, you know, the ideas they espouse. The difference between, say, a guy like what's his fuck, that crazy who's that crazy the Bronze Age guy, somebody will tell me. He's a dude that got in trouble for having a bunch of like women slaves and all this shit. Anyway, like the difference between that, like Anita Sarkeesian and the opposite version of it, to me is very, very limited. It's like, if you're in there screaming about ID, let's put it this way. Like we talk about Atlantis, the difference between a guy who comes in and who's like looking for a white Atlantis and the difference between somebody who comes in and looking for a black Atlantis is null and void to me. They're both the same. They're both exactly the fucking same. Yeah, thank you, Andrew Tate. There you go. Andrew Tate and Anita Sarkeesian, in my mind, are so fucking close to the same as far as the content they put out into the world. It's just like whining to a fucking limited amount of people and pissing off the everybody else so that they retweet you. It's a very simple model. They both follow the exact same thing. It's just the difference is the gender that they fucking talk to. Hey, yeah, no problem. Thanks, Ark. The late night streams are kind of fun. I know it's not as much fun during the middle of the day. Yeah, exactly. Who cares what color Atlantis is? It's fully retarded. That's my problem. Is there's people. The rest of us are trying to like actually like discern what happened, and there's a handful of people in all different walks of political walks that have ideas that they want to see found in the past, like agendas suck. Exactly. We're gonna see. It doesn't matter what the agenda is. If the agenda is proving that transgender people existed in the old day, if the agenda is proving the Greeks weren't gay, proving the Greeks were gay, proving the gay wasn't a thing, proving the gay was a thing, proving that these guys were smarter than those, proving those guys were dumber than any of this kind of bullshit is very immediately and clearly. Well, the ultimate problem is I can't even trust your data. Right. I know that if somebody's willing to do that, they're willing to doctor the data to make their arguments. And at that point, if I can't even trust the numbers you bring, man, you fucking fuck you. That's at that point, you're completely fucking worthless to the dialogue. Sorry. Now I'm rubbing my eyes. I don't even look and see what you guys are saying here. All right. Let the dog sleep. Oh, fuck the dogs.
Yeah. Very, very entertaining shit, dude. And yeah. Are you familiar with CoffeeZilla?
Yes.
He's great. He's similar. He calls out sort of like more of the actual like financial fraud that happens right. With like a lot of the influencers, like mm-hmm. A lot of the crypto bullshit and a lot of like the, I don't know, he did a bunch of stuff on Patrick McDavid, Grant Cardone, recently like Logan Paul and some of the people. I don't keep up with all of it,
yes.
But he does really good work too. We talked to him like years ago. But recently I watched one of your videos.
CoffeeZilla is in a whole different category than Dave. Now I get that Danny's might not see that, but, might not be that way to Danny, and you know what, me and Danny don't have to agree on everything. It's a fucking crazy world. CoffeeZilla is in a whole different category than Professor Dave, and the reason I say that is because CoffeeZilla takes this different attitude about this stuff. He is coming at it with very empirical stuff. I can prove to you, I will talk to you and ask you questions. Dave didn't call me and ask me questions. He made up stories about me. He lied about me, in fact. He lied about Jimmy, lied about Graham, made things up. He talked to Dave, he talked to Flint Dibble. That was the person he got his information from. It's the exact opposite. Yeah, the Lego drama. For those of you who aren't aware, excuse me, Coffee Solved the Lego drama is what No Abnormal's saying in the chat. And yes, the Lego drama, if you aren't aware, it's some father and son, like the father got sick and been collecting Legos for fucking ever. His kid brought him to Bricks and Minifigs, which is a third party used Lego dealer. They said, yeah, we'll buy it. Then the company got bought out, and in the hoopla, there you have basically fucked the family out of what was originally 100 or 200,000. There's 100,000, 107,000, 100-ish, a lot of fucking money worth of plastic. Let's just put it that way. And yeah, it's quite a nightmare. Hey there, MRAD himself, Mr. Rad himself. There it is. Have I talked to Kurt Metzger, Cade? Yes, I've been on his podcast twice. In fact, Kurt, I can text the man right now Hey, Rizzo, you're here again. Look at you go. What do we got here? Claims not to be a political channel. Talks about an Egyptian dynasty being erased and their pyramid stolen. Sounds political. That's right. Remember, when we have the next election here in 2028 or whatever, hashtag Thetmose the 12th. Yeah, vote Thetmose. I mean, you know, I've actually lost subscribers during the election cycle. It's one of the funniest fucking things in the world to me, because people were both on both sides of the political fence were like, Dan, you need to go in there and talk. This is important. Why aren't you espousing Trump? Why aren't you espousing Biden? Why aren't you talking about the things that we need for this country right now? And I'm like, dude, if you watch my fucking channel, I talk about big rocks. I'm worthless in the political arena, as far as you know. For all you know, I think that Ronald Reagan was a fucking machine gun that you use when you're playing Call of Duty Zombies. All right? You guys, this whole fucking, what's that celebrity think? What is, and I'm not saying I'm a celebrity. I'm a fucking little, I'm somewhat known. We can say that. What does Alyssa Milano think about politics? What does Taylor Swift think about politics? Who fucking cares? Most of these people aren't even paid to say their own words. They're paid to say the words that somebody like Quentin Tarantino wrote for them. And I don't care what Quentin Tarantino thinks about politics. Anyway, that shit drive me up the fucking wall. So it was really funny when people were like, yeah, you need to go and blah, blah, blah. I was like, fucking fuck you. Fuck you. I'm talking about big rocks. You want to talk about big rocks? If not, go fuck yourself. So anyway, what do we got? Reckless Ben, Coffeezilla, and a team of internet lawyers need to go out to the top Epstein client list. Dude, motherfuckers need to go out to the Epstein list. One of the things that really pisses me off is that our tax dollars paid to have names redacted. That was fucking bullshit. Not just a rock, a 1,200-ton rock. Yes, thank you, Tim. Exactly. I want to talk about big rocks. No, man, whoever's saying I'm a celeb, I ain't even close to that. UAP flaps. Oh, hell. No, man, I'm what you would call, like, niche famous. You have to know who Graham Hancock and Joe Rogan are in order to know who I am. And that works out all right most of the time. I can go to the gas station 89% of the time and not get recognized. And that's kind of, I mean, it would be better if it was 95%, but I can go with 89%.
Videos on, like, on ancient Egypt. I think it was about Jimmy Corsetti. Uh-huh. I like Jimmy. He's always been pleasant to me. I get along with him. Yeah. If this was about any of my friends, I would laugh my ass off about it. It was very entertaining. And I couldn't help but like share it with a bunch of my friends. Like, uh-huh. Dude, have you seen this? Like, it's great. Like, even though like I don't think the pyramids were tombs, this guy's great. Like, this guy's funny. And I think mm-hmm. there needs to be people that are like this that are out there, because like,
now this is one thing I want to point out. The Danny Jones pod should be out soon, by the way, really quick. He's got it up for his Patreon supporters can watch it now. So it should be out any day now. now, what he was just saying there, there's a huge problem we've got with the way that we handle. I mentioned this earlier when I did a stream yesterday, technically. We have a huge problem with the way that we handle dissension in the way they do. We go watch their videos. They fucking Danny Jones invites the guy onto the podcast and shares his video with his friends, even though he doesn't agree with it. All right. Now, you know what they do? What those guys do? They don't watch our video. They don't share the video. They instead pretend it doesn't exist. Not all the time, but quite often. They will do their very best to silence these things and to make it where people don't see them at all, stifle it, give it no oxygen, make those guys go away. You notice when I talk about Flint or any of these guys, Professor Dave included, that like how much money they make on it or whatever is never like my concern. I will mention the fact that this is what they do for a living, but I'm not going to sit there and fucking hammer about. But fucking Flint and Dave both, they will target it. They'll actually be like, this is, we need to go after their livelihood. I can't believe these guys are getting paid to do this. This is where we have a real problem. Because in my mind, because like the difference are that with Danny being chill and sharing and stuff, it's like, I'm reminded of when Bill Gates was talking to Gary Kildall. For those who don't know, Gary Kildall was the guy who invented CPM, and he was the dude who basically made the home computer viable. He took the Intel 8080 and programmed home computer stuff with it. So Gary Kildall was in a position to be the guy that sold the operating system to IBM. But IBM ended up going with Bill Gates. And there's a point where Gary Kildall and Bill Gates were like, they were always talking. They were good friends. And at one point, they would share their information all the time. Gary would share with Bill. Bill was a lot more tight-lipped with Gary. And at one point, Bill even said, he's like, Gary, why are you telling me all of your trade secrets? You know I'm your competitor. And he's like, oh, man, there's enough room in this pie for everybody to, you know, have a piece of it. And Bill says, no, there's only going to be room for one in 20 years. The difference in mindset is drastic. One guy thinking we can share and we can discuss and this is good, and the other guy thinking I'm going to kill you, I'm going to stifle you. And this is exactly what we've got. This is exactly what we've got with the situation here, where guys like Danny and rightfully so, guys like Joe Rogan, he'll bring the opposition right to his face. They won't. They're afraid to do that, and because one of their weapons is to stifle. It's really an unfortunate thing, because it makes it where you, instead of actually engaging in argument, they're just trying to get you to be quieted. And it's like, there's one YouTuber that's an archaeologist that used to be a YouTuber. He quit about a year and a half ago, and he quit in the wake of the whole Flint Dibble debate and me and him having a falling out. And he was one of the debunkers. His name is Bill Farley. You can find him on Twitter still. He went on YouTube under Archaeology Tube, which he's still around there too. He quit making videos at some point when me and him were having a spat. And I don't know how much I played into him not making videos anymore, but I feel really bad about him not making content anymore, even though I don't like the guy. And if I was to sit down and make content, like if he made content, I would be fighting against it or yelling about it or rolling my eyes at the very least. It's still, I feel that feeling of you've scorched the earth and you've crushed the soul of another human being. Okay. I mean, they must really be doing something bad. I reserve that shit for the people that are actually doing things that are horrible, not that people that disagree with me on 1200 ton rocks.
Like, I don't think that you should be, even though the way it is everyone's kind of like siloed into their own ideological bubbles on the internet, which is kind of like what the algorithms have done. It's kind of like, it's like siloed people away, yeah, for whatever algorithmic reason to get more engagement on stuff or to monetize it better. Who knows why?
But that has been the byproduct. It's pretty easy to wrap your head around. I mean, the you know, sensationalist content is rewarded. So you end up getting audience capture. And so, I mean, that's why I was reticent to come, but ultimately decided it was a good idea, because it sounds like you're trying to not necessarily follow, you know, the Joe Rogan path of just exclusively platforming grifters.
This is insane. The Joe Rogan path of exclusively platforming grifters. Okay. We're going to see this. I want you to pay attention as we go through this, the ego that Dave has. That really is an unfortunate part of this, is he's so fucking self-centered. So he believes that he is above other people, that he's smarter than other people. He sees what other people don't. And he believes it so inherently, he didn't even explain that that's the case. He just talks like that's how it is. Bill Gates is what you get when you drop a megalomania of geek amongst some ideological geeks. That's fair. Hold your trade secret close. It'll keep you on top. That's right. I can't argue with that. Well, thanks for the love from Scotland. Yo. When you see other women at Brett Weinstein's university acted, it's telling when they learn to behave that way. My grift brings all the boys to the yard. There you go.
Because of, you know, because of the revenue that it brings, people want to see this stuff. That, you know, and Jimmy's nice to you because he wants access to your platform, but he's a very toxic individual. And that whole cult, the pseudo-archaeology cult, which, you know, you've platformed a bit, Joe Rogan platforms endlessly. It's an extremely toxic cult. And, you know, I'm sure your listeners that have watched all these guys on your show and other shows don't want to hear that, but it's absolutely the case. And I've made videos on Graham and his underlings and all of these other people. I'm starting to move on to other figures because those are not as relevant anymore. And there's other people that are kind of cropping up in the space. And it's just sensationalist clickbait content. Anti-establishment archaeologists are all idiots and they don't know this like super special secret truth that I'm offering. It's tantalizing. It's a tantalizing.
Rubate asks, how can Danny say, I watched you calling these other guys pseudo-racist, Nazi, insulting them in every way, and I loved it. Yeah, yeah, I get that part of it, Rue. I can't argue with that either. Danny's pretty neutral, and he's just enjoying the content and like laughing at what's being said more, or at how it's being said, I guess, more than what's being said. That's my assumption here. Because, yeah, I mean, to me, I actually I have a hard time responding to Dave's content because it's so toxic. It's like he's sitting here talking about how toxic we are and stuff. It's like, dude, watch me make fun of these guys. I'm laughing with a smile, and it's not like some angry smile on my face like Flint's. It's like I get worked up sometimes, but by and large, dude, this shit tickles me. It's so fucking weird that people get so worked up over this stuff. But look at Dave. The stuff that comes out of his mouth is just, it's like, it's the kind of stuff that if a high school coach said that to a kid on his basketball team, he'd get fired. And it's like, Jesus Christ, you're just cruel, angry, vitriolic. Like he talked about how sensationalism gets clicks. It's like, yeah, go look at fucking Professor Dave Explains channel. Go look right now if you don't believe me. His latest videos, I haven't looked for at least 2 weeks. I guarantee you it's the same thing. His latest videos that are like educational chemistry or how to learn Latin or whatever the fuck. Nobody's watching that. Nobody's watching it. I get more views on these live streams than he gets on those. And I've got exponentially less subscribers. But when Dave makes a video talking shit about somebody like me or Graham or anybody, your Jimmy, he gets lots of clicks. And he doesn't do a very good job with his research. He just talks shit. So yeah, when it comes to that kind of sensationalist content, he knows all too well that it sells really well. Yeah, Graham Hancock is very soft-spoken and polite, fair haul. It's unfortunate he's treated this way. They do this because they don't expect anybody to fight back, which is one of the reasons they hate me so fucking much, and that they're always trying to get me whatever, deplatformed or however you want to say it, get me not as noticed because they're, it's easy to go yell at a hippie who's going to say, man, I don't want to miss fucking feel that in my heart, son. I don't want that negative energy, bro. It's not so easy to go around yelling at people like that and then having some asshole like me show up. Cause dude, I'll say things that'll make the hippie that fucking you were talking shit to at first make them wish I hadn't shown up. When as far as talking shit goes, I'm perfectly content to talk mad amounts of shit when people are worthy of it. And sadly, Dave Farina is high on that list.
As a narrative, but it's...
Well, I think everything could be classified as a cult online. There's a lot of things. Both political parties are absolute cults. Different segments of religious knowledge or religions or cults, basically.
Sure.
And these things have become religions where I don't think it's everyone, man. I think most people are genuinely interested in this stuff. But the people that you see tweeting about it, the loudest people online, mm-hmm. are, I agree with you, the most toxic people. And then when you see people like that, you automatically want to lump everyone into it and say, this is this big toxic cult. When in reality, it's a handful of people that are very loud online trying to get engagement.
Sure. But that's, I mean, you know, we're in the heartland of Scientology, right?
We are. We got an e-meter, yeah, right there. We can do a technological exorcism on you right now.
I walked around by the headquarters yesterday. I was like, this is wild.
It's insane.
But I mean, but you can say that, like, that is like the biggest and most successful cult of the past century.
It is, really. Yeah. It is, right? Why, like, they're the one cult that's been able to survive.
They've just mastered it. But what I'm saying is that obviously there are always going to be people on the periphery, right? You're trying to lure in people on the periphery, right? That's why you know, all of what's been going on exposing the Church of Scientology is incredible. And I can't believe they're still able to operate after what's come out. But this is what you do, right? With all of these nascent cults, you have these cult leaders and they're trying to draw in people from the periphery. Mm-hmm. This is reasonable. This is right. How we, you know, and so that's why there's not enough people making debunking content to serve.
Right.
There's too many of these, and they, you know,
right.
There has to be enough content or a roughly equal amount of content debunking these claims as there are the people that are generating them. So.
Hashtag danceled. Very nice. Thank you. I'll hippie spank you. Yeah, there we go. Like, that was a pretty good example right there of we need more people debunking these guys. Okay, now, when you have sciences that this guy doesn't know fucking anything about, okay, what happens is somebody read Rover's ass. Flint Dibble came to him and said, hey, we got archaeology problem over here. And then Dave comes and debunks all these pseudo-archaeologists. He doesn't know anything about this stuff, which is why he's done responding to me at this point, because he had no idea. He got everything wrong about me, from why I started making videos to the first videos that I made to my position on this, that, and the other thing, to the radiocarbon dating on the Great Pyramid. He got every fucking thing wrong he possibly could. And that doesn't matter, though, because in his mind, he's presenting truth, right? He's promoting it, even though it's like it's like what I'm saying isn't arguable. Demonstrably, he made claims that were false. He made claims that were bullshit. And so, like saying that I started making my videos to go after Flint Dibble, and when and that I just wanted to be carrying Graham water for Graham and things like this, and more and more. My point is that, well, hang on real quick. Wow, I just looked at Dave's channel and you weren't kidding at all. His channel views, here, let's just put that on the screen. His channel views are fucking embarrassing on his videos that aren't debunking and filled with hate and vitriolic dialogue. Yeah, like I say, man, it's literally 5,000 to 10,000 views. He's lucky to hit 10,000 views on a video that is not talking shit about someone. If he's trying to educate people, and that's the thing, he calls himself a science educator, but then he gets the information wrong about me. He gets the information wrong about Graham. He gets the information wrong about archaeology. He gets, what are you educating people on? All you're doing is fucking talking shit. Hi, Dan. Cheers. Taking a rip for you. Well, thanks. Thank you so much, Alex. I appreciate that. But yeah, it's like this idea that there's, like, we need more people standing up and fighting against this stuff. What we need is educated people. What we need, let's be fucking clear, to fix what the exact problem that Dave is trying to address, the exact problem with too much grifters in the scientific community, too many people, as I've used the metaphor 1,000 times, if the lost civilization, if Atlantis is my car keys and I've lost them in your apartment, we got too many people telling us that they know where those car keys are when they have no fucking clue. We got too many people telling us there are no car keys when we fucking know there are. We got all these kinds of goofy situations that make you want to argue and scream and fight back and forth. And that's where content like Dave's will shine, because he's angry. He's vitriolic. You're emotional. You're already just like all drummed up in the chest and your heart's beating and you're angry and pissed off. Well, guess what? Here is your boy. He's going to come in and he's going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to help you out. He's going to align with you. And we'll see this as we go through this video. It is so... He picks and chooses his science. I've said this before. We live in a day when you can pick and choose your scientists the same as you can pick and choose your political ideologues or your political parties. And you're going to see Dave do just that. He doesn't have a standard for what his scientists are or need to be. He's just, this one I agree with and this one I don't, which is no fucking different than somebody watching Ancient Apocalypse deciding they agree with Graham Hancock more than they agree with Flint Dibble. Dave can say, well, I agree with this expert more than the other. It's like, dude, appeals to authority is the only thing you have. You have two different arguments, two different experts saying two different things. That's one of the biggest problems with their whole idea to begin with. We know that there are different opinions on this stuff. Why are you trying to hold us to one? Love your work, Daniel. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it would be sad if it wasn't so vile. It's pretty fucking gross, to be honest with you. I can get pretty worked up about how frustrating.
Yeah, I just think, you know, this all probably started as far as like the ancient archaeology angle of it. I think when Joe Rogan probably had Graham Hancock on over 10 years ago,
just over. And
I think that's kind of when the internet really exploded with this stuff. I mean, I think Joe actually has said that that's like when his podcast really took off, when he had Graham Hancock on. And you know, some of the things Graham Hancock is saying, I'm not an expert in Graham Hancock, or I have read one of his books maybe 6 years ago. I'm not the person to debate whether he's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a genuine interest in this stuff, a genuine human interest in this stuff. And clearly academics and archaeologists and Egyptologists mostly disagree with him. is fascinating. Whether he's, whether there is a kernel of truth to what he's saying or not, at least the guy's traveling around to all these places saying all this stuff. Like, he's not saying this is an absolute bona fide fact.
Right. Right. He's a tourist peddling sensationalist claims. Right? It's just not really an honest framing. Mm-hmm. Right. Academics don't disagree. They know that he's wrong. Right. Mm. And Graham's.
Academics don't disagree. They know that he's wrong. A perfect fucking example. Fuck you. They know that he's wrong. Don Spacito. Yeah, that was my nickname in high school. Yeah, Dibble is an expert in dick bones and seeds. That's exactly what he is an expert in. Another great example is making it out like, well, Hancock framed it wrong. It's like, dude, Dave, you don't know anything about this. You know nothing about this stuff, Dave. You haven't read any books on it. You got your information from Flint Dibble. Imagine if I was some guy that was learning about evolution and I got my information from Ken Ham, somebody who hates evolution. You are getting your information from the fucking haters, and then you try to claim that this is like good information. This is how you're going to learn about things. Dude, you got it from the wrong ass people. We just saw, for the people that watched my last bit of live streams, we just saw what happens when Neil Sendlak did that. Get his information on what I think from people who hate me. And it ended up costing him the debate. It made him look like a fucking idiot in public. Excuse me, that might be beer drinking going on. The amount of hate for Graham there makes no sense, Dave. Who pissed in your Cheerios? Yeah, it's... I'm quite certain that Flint contacted him about it. I wouldn't be surprised if Flint told him to get money or something out of it. Maybe just because of the clicks, but... Danny said something unbiased, says something unbiased comment. Dave immediately says something in the most disrespectful and dismissive shit possible. Yeah. Danny's insightful and inquisitive, and Dave's, he's an ideologue pushing a narrative. Dave is sorry, the circle jerking cannot disprove Graham's research. Correct. Timmy's laughing at us all here. I'm glad these guys feel their hatred because that proves to me what I need to pay attention to. Yes, correct. I follow that.
Very careful about making very few falsifiable claims. He says as vague as possible. Mm-hmm. And that was what was great about, Flint debating.
And let me be, another thing I'll be clear about is I kind of dissented from the norm on Joe's podcast with Flint. I thought Graham body bagged. I mean, I'm sorry. I thought Flint body bagged Graham in that debate. That was my, because there's this phenomenon I'm sure you're aware of when you watch things online, you kind of gaslight yourself by reading the comments because the comments sort of like have their own sort of conclusion they come to. And then some people even read the comments first. They're like, oh, this must be what it's about. Then, then you watch the video in that context.
Hence bot campaigns because they know that if they can shift the optics in the comment section, that might lead people to not even watch the content at all or, you know.
Right. Well.
And this is exactly Timmy, I'm seeing Timmy's comment right there. Yeah, Dave is exactly he's commenting on that because he knows his followers use exactly these sort of things. They use bots. They go out of their way to I've never before interacting with Professor Dave, I never had to like moderate my comment section or anything, and now it's like a pretty constant thing that I have to look out for people that come in there. And I don't have a problem with somebody that comes in there and says, hey, Professor Dave kicked your ass. You're an idiot. Whatever. The problem comes in when people come in lying. The problem comes in when people come in saying things that are just like, it's like openly bullshit. It's like, God damn it, dude. Either I have to sit here and argue with every fucking one of you guys, or I just have to nuke these comments. And I don't have all the argument all the time of the day, but this is, Dave's followers engage in all of the manipulative tactics, and Dave is very aware of this, as you just saw. Oh, you want to know, is this dude really one of Flint's disciples? He never once talked about pseudo-archaeology, Graham Hancock, me, or Jimmy Corsetti at all. Then he comes out and makes his first video on it, and it has misinformation numerous times, but all that, it all paints Flint out to be a victim, and it all paints all of us guys out to be nutso fucking racists, white supremacists, horrible people. And then he does the same fucking thing again. It reeks of Flint Dibble that the entire, he's even got Flint He even thanks Flint at one point, if I remember right, for helping him out with all the bullshit, with all of his research and whatnot. But the fact is, it's quite obvious. He doesn't know anything about this stuff. And the information that he has came from Flint. If you've like interacted with him, it's not very difficult. Oh, dude, I would love to get him on Camp Gagnon. That would be great. Fucking, that was a really fun podcast. It's been over a year now, but man, I missed that. Thank you, McNew. I appreciate that. And, you have a good day. Hopefully you have time to watch this some more. Dibble got bagged on Danny Jones podcast. Oh dude. Yeah. That was so bad when Flint Dibble got on Danny Jones and was like, yeah, you can use sticks and rocks to make a face. Like, oh, okay. All right. Sure. It seems the HJ Rogan's using a foot with Flint to get more traction in space for his debunking audience. Yeah. He's, that might be it. I'm 100% Flint contacted him, and the thing is that he's not in any position to actually discuss this stuff. I mean, Dave Farina, he's like, you debate these things with him and he falls apart really fucking quick. You can see him talking about this stuff. He has no real knowledge of what he's talking about.
So I thought that was a great debate to see. I really learned a lot from it. And I thought Flint actually did a good job, as insufferable as some people think he may be. I personally liked him.
But, I mean, I don't, like, what's insufferable about providing a mountain of facts and empirical evidence to disprove a grizzly?
Well, he's very toxic online. He's kind of, I mean, he's just as loud as Jimmy, but in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, but these are people who have, encouraged people to contact his place of work and try to get him fired. And
there it is. No, he's referring to me right there. And I did not. As a matter of fact, when some of my followers said they were doing that, I said, don't try to get him fired from work. Professor Dave edited me selectively out of context in order to say that I tried to get Flint fired from work. He's justifying Flint being able to act like a complete asshole. But if anybody else does, they're toxic trolls. But Flint or Professor Dave himself, they're fine doing that because the ends justify the means, bro. I'm fighting racism. I'm defending the world against inhumanity or whatever. It's arrogant fucking bullshit coming from people that are stroking their own egos and filling their own wallets.
Like, there's just, after that debate began, mm-hmm. this entire narrative of Flint is a liar. Flint is a liar. Mm-hmm. Joe said it on his show, had Graham on a bunch more times to talk about what a liar Flint is. And then all the other underlings, repeating this narrative. It's just damage control.
All the other underlings repeating this narrative. Bitch tits, I created that narrative. I was the one that sussed that Flint was full of shit. I was the one that saw him, that made the first videos calling him out as a big fat fucking liar. Not that he was manipulating the data, but flat out openly lying. And you'll notice once we go through this, Dave doesn't mention me because he alludes to me because Dave is hoping that I disappear. Dave is hoping that I just drift off into the sunset. But the problem with that is that's not going to happen until my heart explodes or until I do the wrong chemicals. It's going to be a long time before I'm out of the game, or at least a 6 months or so.
Humiliated Graham on Joe's show. That's what happened. You know what I mean? He just brought all that he got Graham to admit that there's no evidence for anything he says. And then he also brought empirical evidence against the existence.
The quote that Graham said, there was no evidence for his lost civilization. Graham and Joe, by context, you can listen to the thing. They're specifically referring to the continental shelves, to Ethiopia, to Africa, and to South America. They're referring to three different things. Is like absurd. Shout out to Sam, illegitimate scholar. Oh yeah, dude, I love Sam Urban and Timmy Bush. Guess what? You ain't going nowhere. No, I'll have you know that one of my supporters is flying me to the Serpent Mound, and even my kid, and we're gonna look at the snake on the solstice. Thank you very much. So yeah, tell me I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to Ohio, like all the kids from the Skibbity Toilet days. Teach you, I'm not going anywhere.
Existence of agriculture and all this stuff, mm-hmm. and even got him to walk back and say, well, maybe it was just the idea of agriculture, which is meaningless, right? He exposed mm-hmm. how vapid these narratives really are. And Graham's very clever; he doesn't make that many falsifiable claims, but ultimately, it's just whimsy, right? Dressed up.
Okay, now this is, I think, probably something really important right here. Graham doesn't make very many falsifiable claims. He's asking questions, as he says all the time. And yet these guys still come railing at him like he's trying to take their job. Why? I've said this before. I'll say it 1,000 times. Archaeologists, they write a fiction, an idea that we can't prove. Graham Hancock writes a fiction, an idea that we can't prove. Graham's got the wrong letters next to his name, but his books sell way, way, way more than theirs. They're pissed. This is fucking hubris. This is ego. This is why they can't allow him to just, they can't live and let live. All right. And that's really what this comes down to. It's, if Graham was trying to, if Graham was trying to ruin things, it would be a lot different, but he's not, is it? He's asking questions, as they say. Don't disappear if you ascend, that's cool. No, I'll try not to disappear. Thanks, Mick. And thank for Farina may go hunting this stuff down to feed his followers. Yeah, but this one, there's very clear Flint Dibble influence on this stuff. Like that right there. Well, they lied about Flint Dibble and were trying to get him to lose his job. Yeah, the narrative that Flint Dibble lied came about because Flint Dibble fucking lied. And the fact that, okay, say for instance, you're coming into a scientific debate and you've got one group of people saying that this scientist lied. Would you bother to fact check that and all before you fucking hung your hat? Dave didn't. He just ran with what that fucking scientist said. And as we'll see, Dave will talk shit about scientists if they're not on the same alignment as his, what he's into. If they're not where he thinks they should be, Dave will talk shit about him. But if the scientist is his buddy, if they can get into lockstep, Dave won't, they can do no fucking wrong. It's really crazy. Oh shit, Dominic, don't worry about being late. Of course you're late, man. You're fine. And I found you, Dan, because I was already watching Graham and others. Farina does not make my algorithm. That's good. It sounds like the name of a cartoon archaeologist. Yeah, very much does.
As this bold anti-establishment research that flies in the face of, you know, yeah. It's nuts. It's just a great
one of the things that I've said before that I've thought about a lot. Well, I was thinking about this a lot during that time when he did that podcast and before I had Flint on the show, is that when you are in that position that Graham Hancock was in the beginning, where you are sort of like the fringe outlier anti-establishment person, you feel like everyone's coming to get you, everyone's trying to take you down, and you're kind of the one shining light in this sea of darkness, right? You can go so far, you can come full circle to being like the very thing that you were fighting against in the beginning, to where now everyone is the enemy.
Yeah, but a figure like Graham never truly was that figure. That's a narrative. It's an alluring narrative. Everyone wants Luke Skywalker versus the Death Star, right? Mm-hmm. That is the only way to get people to discredit an entire field of science.
Wow. That's, first of all, archaeology is not a fucking science. It's like history, okay? Historians don't call themselves scientists. And second of all, Graham was never that way. Graham has made a lot of observations. I'll point out two things that Graham has said that would happen, that did happen. One of the things was that we would find evidence of, you know, older civilizations, of older megalithic architecture. And then we find Göbekli Tepe, which is, you know, massive. Another thing you could say was Easter Island. Graham talked about the same shit as Thor Heyerdahl did, that there was, you know, contact between the old world and the new via Easter Island. This is something we just found out in the last couple of years. So, I mean, you can say that Graham doesn't know what he's talking about, or you could say that he knew what he was talking about so much that y'all are just now catching up with him. Depends on the fucking content we're discussing. Depends on the exact topic, doesn't it? Excuse me.
Millions of experts that actually know what they're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It has to have that bite to it. Mm-hmm. So Graham has always been a grifter. I mean, he started with like really ancient aliens, aliens on Mars kind of stuff, and then he kind of pulled it back to sound as reasonable as possible.
Mm. Absolute lie. Graham's first book that was not in the realm of mainstream history or mainstream reporting would be The Sign and the Seal. And that book is about the Lost Ark of the Covenant and it ended up in Ethiopia. Has nothing to do with aliens. His next big book would be The Fingerprints of the Gods, the copy of which I've got sitting right over here somewhere that's already signed and sealed, but I don't have my copy of signed and the seal, but I've got my Fingerprints of the Gods, and it's I pre-ordered this one at Hastings like a kajillion years ago, and I got it signed by Graham because I was lucky. Woohoo, I'm bragging and showing off now because I can, but yeah, this was the second book, okay? It mentions aliens exactly zero times. Now, then you had The Mars Mystery, which isn't even his next book. Then we have the one that he co-authored with Robert Rival, which is Messages of the Sphinx. And then we have The Mars Mystery, which is like, if I chose to make a video, if I was doing this instead of on Professor Dave, if I was doing this on one of the alien things because of all the disclosure stuff that's going on, The Face on Mars was kind of like a huge thing there, and I understand why it was getting speculated on, but neither here nor there, really. At the end of the day, what's really important is Dave is full of shit. He didn't walk back. He didn't start off this idea and then walk it back. It was like, oh, we're on Mars. Well, maybe not so much. No. He started out with an Atlantis idea and went a lot of different directions with it in his speculation. It's absolute fucking lie. Absolute fucking lie. And this is exactly the kind of shit I'm talking about where it's like this. Maybe he's not lying. Maybe he got it wrong. Did he not just say that authoritatively? And he's talking about how this person is. Dude, this is the kind of shit that, in all honesty, dude, I mean, fucking Graham should sue Dave for that shit. No, he shouldn't. But in all honesty, dude, if I was that kind of guy, dude, you know, the fucking National Enquirer, the way that they do business is they talk shit about, at least they used to, they talk shit about people. They take the lawsuit right to the fucking dome, pay it right out of pocket because they made trillion, you know, they made $20 million to pay out $2 million. Who gives a fuck? And honestly, Dave is, his shtick is so full of shit that it needs to be whooped up on to a degree. All right, let's see what we've got here some more.
To kind of lure people in. Look, he speaks very well, and he has these interesting ideas, and he's not arrogant. He says, what if, you know, but it's just, all of it is absolutely baseless rhetoric to sell books. That's all it is.
Do you think that he, like people like him, literally get into this stuff just to profit on it? Like say, hey, let's take this lie and let's just deceive people to make money? Or do you think that they're actually maybe interested in it and they believe that it could be true and they want to discuss it?
I mean,
obviously, I think there's nuance.
Yeah.
I think there are people that do what I just described.
Right.
But
Billy Carson. Or
yeah.
But it's the same. It's the same narrative. He's just way more sensational with it, with the Anunnaki and Emerald Tablets and all that stuff. It's the same grift. Graham just tries to appear as reasonable as possible. Now, the degree to which you want to get into human psychology and how much a grifter is able to like convince themselves that they are the hero that they present themselves as, I don't know. You know, and it varies.
And this is the same thing we just dealt with my dealing of earlier live stream when I'm talking about Flint and Neil, Gnostic Informant. They lump us all into one thing. Oh, it's the same grift. If somebody that is completely wrong and somebody who is not completely wrong, somebody who knows they're wrong and somebody who does know they're wrong, it's all the same grift because, well, there's one underlying point, you see. Hey, what's crack-a-lackin' hologram? It's all about what's going on that way, you see. And so it's kind of frustrating because, what Dave's saying here is so basic bitch straightforward, but it, like, he talks about what's convincing the masses and stuff. And he's got all these people convinced that being angrily arrogant is the same as being skeptical and empirical. I mean, think about that for a second. Being a fucking hate mob is the same as being skeptical and empirical. That is the fucking bill of goods he sold the world. So I have a real problem with it. It just kills me when he's like, oh, you're a bunch of grifters. She's like, dude, you're fucking, yeah. If I change the way that everybody in the world deals with the pyramids, it's not going to impact half as much as Dave would if he changed the way 1/10 of the people in the world dealt with their opposition. He's rotten that way. It's an unfortunate reality. Yes, this is live, Chris. How are you doing? Graham is pretty humble, really. Yeah, Graham is pretty humble, in all.
He's on a case by case basis.
Well, here's the thing about Graham, and without drilling down into too much detail. Like, it's absolutely possible that human beings are a lot older than established science says right now, because the age keeps getting older. Like, I've talked about this ad nauseum. We talked about it yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever the last podcast was, that the skull, the human skull found in China that dated back to over 1 million years old. Like, their evidence keeps coming out that humans were on this planet starting out way earlier than we originally thought. 1 million-year-old human skull, Yunxian 2, discovered in Hubei, China in the 1990s, has been digitally reconstructed. Oh, this was found that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but...
So, like, there's
But you know, you realize that like hominid species have been around for millions of years. That
hominids, but this is Homo sapiens. This was a human. This was a Homo sapien human, not a hominid.
Similar to Homo, is that Longi? Denisovans.
Is this the article, Steve, that we were talking about? I thought the article was more recent. Yeah, there it is. There's the BBC article. That was from 2025. So read the first paragraph of this. Let's see what it says. A million-year-old human skull found in China suggests that our species Homo sapiens began to emerge at least 500,000 years earlier than we thought. Researchers are claiming in a new study. Where's the new study? What does it say about the new study? Discovery published in the leading scientific journal Science shocked the research team, which included scientists from a university in China and the UK's Natural History Museum. So it's a real study published in a scientific journal of a Homo sapiens skull that's 1 million years old. So like, I don't see why it's controversial to be open to the possibility that.
Before I let Danny ask his question too thoroughly, let's ask. Professor Dave didn't know anything about that fucking skull. Danny knew about it off the hip, all right? Dave didn't, and the reason is because Dave doesn't research this stuff. I'm going to tell you, man, Dave doesn't... Dave is a fucking lazy YouTuber, all right? I guarantee you that his amount of research that he does is minimal. I can tell because I do this for a living too, and it's very, very obvious. He doesn't put in the effort that most people do. He writes jokes. Cheers yourself. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the Sunday morning there. Oh, what do we got here? You guys arguing about something? Oh, the point stands, of course. I don't know about all that. It depends. Where we're at with where I would say we are with a guy like Dave is that when you're trying to pull together people for an ideological purpose, it's like, well, let's put it this way. Say I went and did the Operation Paperclip and I was looking for archaeologists. Do you think Operation Paperclip was when they scooped up Nazis scientists and brought them into the West, into America specifically? Now, if we were to Operation Paperclip a bunch of Nazi archaeologists, do you think that would skew our views on Atlantis? Why or why not? I mean, this really isn't so complicated. Oh, I'm not up early. I'm up late. What up, Kura? Oh, what about Danny's point? Oh, yeah, Danny made a point. Yes, he did. I understand. Most people claim that assertion without citation is being lazy. Dave's research consists of Wikipedia talking points. Yeah, Dave doesn't even fucking look at this stuff, dude.
That humans could be way older than we thought, right? Like, sure. science evolves all the time.
But
right?
There's a huge difference between finding a Homo sapiens specimen that's earlier than you thought, right? Jebel Erhoud is 300,000. That was my impression of how old Homo sapiens is. Mm-hmm. But that in no way signifies that there was some kind of hyper advanced structure or civilization or all these other very outrageous claims, right? I mean, we know that hominids have been around for millions of years, very, right. You know, different species. So right. Homo sapiens emerging earlier than we
thought. Gosh, it drives me up the wall. Jumping from, we know we had Homo sapiens. Okay. Danny is saying, so Homo sapiens emerged earlier than we thought they did. And then Dave's answer is, yeah, but that doesn't mean X, Y, or Z. No, you're right. However, it does mean there's a good chance that things were happening bigger than you anticipated them previously. We're now finding out that things happened longer and more and survived better. And you're now, sorry. It gets so frustrating because it's like, again, I feel like, if my son went to a science class and he came home and he was just talking all kinds of goofy shit because he learned wrong stuff. Yeah, I appreciate that, Daddy Hulk. I'm doing my best. Yeah, this is I'll do my best. You know, it's it is what it is. Somebody's got to make fun of these fucking idiots.
Thought, okay. I mean, I'm open to it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that, but yeah. that doesn't in any way substantiate mm-hmm. outrageous pseudo archaeological claims.
Right? Right. Right. And there, and when it comes to like some of the ancient structures that Graham talks about, like the ones in Indonesia, Turkey, Egypt, and even, you know, in the UK with like Stonehenge, it's like, it is, that there's a reason that it's one of the seven wonders of the world, right? Is because it's like, it's almost seemed like an impossible feat for ancient humans to be able to do. And, you know, that's why a lot of people, a huge subset of people in the world believe like there's a logic gap there, right? There's like, how does this make sense? We don't know. Maybe we'll fill it in with God, or maybe we'll fill it in with aliens. Mm-hmm. I don't know, right? But like, it's like, the conventional explanation for how it happened seems to be like the, you know, it doesn't seem to add up. It doesn't seem to make sense, which is why I think most people are so fascinated with this stuff and like to come up with all these crazy theories and ideas that may be bullshit. They may be bogus, but to be able to talk about them and discuss them and do, you know, podcasts on them, I don't think it's dangerous in any way.
Well, I don't know, because I mean, it depends. First of all, I don't know. So to go site by site again, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about here, because I debunked so many things. Pseudo-archaeology is one blip we do. I'm talking about anti-vaxxers and creationists and climate change and all these things. So, mm-hmm. you know, I can't speak to specifics of each site, but sure. to speak.
Fucking of course he can't speak to the specifics of each site. Professor Dave doesn't know fuck all about archaeology. He only weighed in on it because Flint Dibble recruited him to do so. And so, yeah, this is what you're going to get. I don't really know exactly because, well, murderer. Well, thanks. I'm glad you're glad I'm up too.
Generally about rhetoric. For an academic, for an archaeologist to propose something about a particular site, that's academic science. There's no problem with that. And to have a discussion within the scientific community, that's happening all the time in every field. There's no problem with that. But the way that these grifters come at this, you know, oh, all the archaeologists are closed-minded and they're idiots and they don't know about this and they don't know about that and they're denying this for whatever reason, that poisons the public against the scientific community, right? And that is what leads to enhanced vaccine hesitancy and all these other things, right? Because the public can't compartmentalize science, right? They don't really think about this is what this community is doing. This is what this community is doing. They just leave this general sense of scientists are closed-minded shills in the pocket of big whatever, mm-hmm. Right?
All right, two things here. Number one, I disagree with Dave fundamentally. I don't think that the society is too dumb to tell one science from another. I think that society can tell that the Mets has a better hitting staff and that the Cardinals have a better pitching staff. And I don't think society has a hard time sussing things like this. I think we realize that there's a difference between a hard science and a soft science. And that is where I'm going to, again, hold you, Flint Dibble. Well, Flint's not here this time, but I know that Flint's kind of pushing Dave Farina's fucking buttons there. You're the one that's the problem. The fact is, using soft sciences and sidecarring them onto real science is why the public, like guys like me, start questioning you, start saying, why are you allowing ideology to fucking take such a prominent seat in your scientific discourse? There's no reason for this. Well, there is a reason for this to them, because it achieves a narrative, it achieves an ending. And in all honesty, at this point, you can't even, there's certain things that if I talked to a dude about a year and a half ago who had spent 2 years going through psychology classes, and he dropped out at his third year because of the shit he started having to do that was basically cultish, that was forcing him to adhere to certain ideological positions and whatnot. And it's unacceptable. It's certainly not scientific. So if dude bro is going to call this science, he's going to be like, these guys are fine. He's just scientists making their own hypothesis. You just got it. No, dude, you need to fucking learn what the definition is, because this right here, if you take and tell me that I need to treat your opinion on how the first Native Americans got to America as a scientific fact, I need to treat that the same as I treat it if I fucking burn an atom of hydrogen and I know what happens. Is no, dude. If you're going to put, then you're going to find yourself sadly disappointed when I tell you to suck a cock, because I'm not fucking playing that game. That's one of these is actual, like, empirically and data wise and sciencey, and the other one is not. Anyway, fuck, this shit can drive a mad guy up the wall, man.
Big archaeology is an insane term. But that's the narrative that is peddled. And so what you get is a public that is increasingly distrustful towards science. And mm-hmm. that's when you get, the public voting in administrations that put science deniers in positions of power and things like that. So ultimately.
It's Graham Hancock's fault that Donald Trump got elected. That's what Dave Farina just said. For those of you who can't read between the lines. Oh, you didn't miss anything yet. No borders. You're just about an hour and 15 minutes of me talking. Nothing special.
What I want to say is that it is harmful. Now, you can go into individual examples of one person saying this or that. Something might be defensible, but broadly speaking, it is harmful.
I'm not in my 20s anymore. Even though I've improved my workouts and my diet over the years, I've still noticed a drop in my energy and my motivation.
What a drop in energy and motivation. That's probably a good spot to call it for this first night. It's, it's been an hour and 15 already. I don't want to go too crazy. And yeah, I did see that Graham's having surgery. Oh, no, we've been going at it for a while. No borders. Haha. Yeah, I did see that Graham's having surgery. It's too bad. Yeah, we'll talk for another 10 minutes or so. I'll sit and chat with y'all and we'll close down the stream that way. But I'm a little tired. I streamed earlier yesterday and it's late now. We'll do this again. Cover the rest of this video in detail. How much of this video we even got left? Let's look and see. We're 20 minutes out of 2 hours and 27 minutes. So goddamn, we got a lot to talk about. Although I think there's probably more than one of those native ads in there, so we'll get rid of those. But yeah, I do think it's important to point out that as we go forward, I think it's important to point out that we're going to see a lot more of this kind of shit in the near future, where they're trying to basically kind of shoehorn us into camps and manipulate us into places and leave us all in our own little corners to where we don't even care if what we're saying is right or wrong. Well, thanks, Daddy. You believe my battery theory? All right. For those of you who haven't seen my Baghdad battery video, that one's definitely worth checking out. The Baghdad battery, in a nutshell, the Baghdad battery wasn't created to harness and create electricity. The Baghdad battery was, in my opinion, created to do alchemy. Yeah, that sounds pretty fancy, right? But seriously, I do think it was made for them to save and harvest precious metals. Dan's nub theory is noteworthy. Yes, thank you. I think my nub theory is worth the shit. The missing dynasty theory, I don't think, is a bad one. The alignment with the pyramids with mirrors. Excuse me. There's a lot of my ideas that I think are pretty decent ideas. But, it's easy to be, everybody loves their own brand, as a fat bastard says on that their Dr. Evil show called Austin Powers. Yeah, I'm glad you like it better, Kuru. Not quite plating hidden, but close. It was basically depositing the metal. The way a galvanic cell works, it kind of creates the way that it makes electricity. Electricity is a flow of electrons. The way a galvanic cell creates a flow of electrons is it kind of creates a draw of electrons on the cathode, and that starts with evaporation, basically a condensation, I should say, where things condense at the cathode, and usually that's a gas, but it can be metals as well. And then at the anode side of things, the electrons are leaving, they're like headed towards the cathode. So that's your flow of electrons. But on your anode side, your anode gets smaller, your cathode gets bigger. And if you have the right precious metals in there, well, say you have gold floating around in the solution you're doing it with, then you see gold build up on the cathode and your anode still gets smaller, and that is going to look like alchemy, my friends. New comments. Well, quit fucking saying new comments on the screen if there ain't no more new comments. Oh, good night, all. God bless. Who left the ass clowns in? Hey, Dan just crawled out of bed. Hey. Thanks so much. Maddie just said you're still up. Yep, Dan is still alive. Yep, not too much longer. But yeah, we'll be seeing you here soon, Tim. be taking off here in just a few more days. Head that direction. Yeah, go ahead. I am going to go to bed in just a couple of minutes. Anything? I just said that I'd wait another few minutes to let everybody say hi and whatnot. Like, you know, we got guys like CWC Hadwin that just showed up, and you know, they want to talk. Dave's hand would get smaller. Dan Hughes, respect for you, good sir. All the way from imaginary homeland of New Zealand. That's right. It could be New Zealand. Could be real, but I don't think it is. I really appreciate you guys showing up. Oh, do have some long form, actual real videos coming down the pipes here, but these kinds of things are allowing me to do responses to videos and continue to produce content and all that crap and keep everybody watching instead of crying. So I am going to call it a night. Why don't you guys go and do the same? Love you all to death. Again, really appreciate the support for the channel and support for myself. Thank you so much, Tim. Tom Addy, we will see you soon. And yep, thank you. And you guys all have a great day. I want to press this end stream button. So we're on God.